Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
So they decide they're going to take them to lunch and they're going to work it out between these two crazy kids, Portia and Kay Michelle.
Yeah.
And Angela's like, listen, fucking Shamia. Like, I've tried with Shamia, you know, and Cynthia's like, well, I feel like you can convince Kay to have some kind of reset with Portia because it's not like they have to be best friends. We just have to shoot. Yep. So she's like, well, I tried. And then we see a flashback to Pinky and Portia talking yesterday, I guess. And Pinky's like, did you know that she had an issue with you prior to us sitting at the table? She's like, well, we've had private conversations building real friendship. And you right. But it's not on your time. She's like, hold on. It's not on your time, Portia. She's like, stop interrupting me.
Yeah. So what we've also learned here is that Pinky apparently does not let people get a word in edgewise. And I think we're not really seeing that because of the way the show is edited. But, you know, when Angela and Pinky went at each other at Dallas, to us, it looked like just a back and forth. But really, the way they were talking about it was like, oh, my God, Pinky, you just went on and on and on and on. And now Portia's saying that she couldn't get a word in edgewise. So it does not make good TV to watch Pinky monologuing. But what I'm getting the sense of is that Pinky just starts talking and then she just does not shut up. Gosh, I've never been accused of that.
I was going to say, who are we to judge? It's a 20-hour recap for 40-minute show.
I've got this board game podcast on the side that I do with my board game friends. And I was like, listening to
Game
latest,
Brain.
Game Brain.
Check it out now.
Game Brain. I was listening to the latest episode. I'm like, oh, it's just me just swallowing up all the air in the room. Just talking and talking and talking.
This is the life for me, baby.
Yeah. So they're gonna get Portia and Kay Michelle together, and on top of that, Angela is gonna give a good college try with Shamia. Although we already know it's not gonna go well because Angela even says in her confessional, like, I mean, I've tried to reach out to Shamina. I mean, Shamessa. I mean, Shaliar. I mean, Shastupid Face. I mean, like bad parallel Parker. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. You know, it sounds kind of like a Shamia line, doesn't it? Like a try hard line. But Angela just does it with better timing.
I don't know. Yeah. Why does, because like the Angela's line was actually very groan worthy.
Yeah.
I was like, you're better than this.
On paper, it wasn't good. But the delivery was very good.
You know what it is? Because it's almost like she knows. I think because she's so dry with it. Whereas Shamia would be like, more like Shamina. Shot o'clock. I mean, more like Shamessa. Even though she's dissing herself in this example.
Okay, now we get to the big prize. You may have lost the ability to shoot with your children, but behind door number three, a whole new rack of new teeth. Congratulations, Kelly. So Kelly is getting a whole new mouth.
A whole new
mouth. From Jarvis. This man Jarvis. What? And, you know, I know I brought up being gay like multiple times in this episode. Not that I even have to you guys. I'm sure you get it. But why don't we get shit? I feel like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. I think because we just offer sex to like literally anybody or anything. Like I would fuck the water cooler outside. It was kind of hot. But yeah. Maybe it's because we just offer up sex too easily. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
How do you date somebody for a couple of months and they're buying you $70,000 worth of teeth? I mean, I can barely get a fucking chocolate croissant out of a man.
The thing is this. You can do it. I think that gays just... I think gays... Gays just are not like, we just watched an episode of Below Deck a few weeks ago where there was like a little twink who was chartering a yacht because his sugar daddy paid for it.
Yeah,
it happens,
right?
But it means like having to, like, you know, the thing is this, gay men are really like obsessive about like hot muscular men or whatever, just like hot guys. And so like, I think that
muscles,
like,
over money, I guess, eh?
I always get the sense that like straight women are not as into the physical as much as gay men are. And so I think like to sacrifice the physical to be with like a sugar daddy is like maybe not as hard. But I think for gay men, you're really sacrificing something.
Well, you know what? And also I think maybe as a woman, you can fake it. more easily because you can, I mean, live, like you don't have to get your you don't have to get hard, you know, like yeah. for a guy yeah. there's no faking yeah. it.
I don't know. I think a woman, there's still stuff that, you know, I think that like, it's just, I've seen enough straight women just with guys in general that aren't even sugar daddies where I'm like, really?
Just gross. Yeah. Just gross dudes.
That I think that they yeah. just, I think they just are looking for something different than what we are looking for. Uh-huh. And I think that like, we are just so superficial that we're like, yes, he could buy me new veneers, but I don't know. His arms aren't quite big enough.
I don't want veneers from a flabby armed man.
You know, I think that's unfortunately just like the plight of being a gay man.
Who wants to say, this mouth was paid for by a chubby person?
But by the way, well, and the other thing is this. A lot of times what we see, when we do see sugar daddies, they're usually with a super hot, young gay guy. I mean, look what happened with David Geffen and the guy who just sued him for like half of his money.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, and so the thing is this, usually the guys that are getting with the sugar daddy are kind of already at that place where they don't need the veneers.
Yeah.
You know, they've already done the
that's
work.
That's true.
They've actually already done the work.
Sugar daddy in the first place.
But the thing is, it's not like Kelly is some like runt. I mean, Kelly is hot and, you know, as well, like Kelly is like beautiful, put together and everything. So like she's also, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, I just mean in general, it seems like, when, like you see on these shows all the time, it's like, oh, I'm with some new guy and he just bought me, you know, he just spent $100,000 on me. You just don't hear that with guys, you know? Mm. It's like the biggest thing I think we tell each other is, oh my God, I've been with someone like every day this week and today he asked me my name. And we're like, oh my God, that's so sweet. You know, these people are getting like new mouths.
Yeah.
What the hell? So anyway, she gets this new mouth and, she says, I've always wanted to be more presentable when it came down to my mouth and my teeth. And Jarvis said he would get me a new smile by any expense necessary. This is the best $70,000 I could spend. I spent $200,000 on a divorce. It costs $70,000 to get veneers? Is that true?
Yeah.
That's
I guess,
almost as
I don't
much
know.
As the Kris Jenner facelift.
I don't know. But, you know, I have to say there's something funny about watching her last week sit down and tell her mom and Nana of Nana's Waffles, like, I'm going through bankruptcy. And this week being like, that's the best $70,000 I could spend on my teeth. I'm like, okay, well, you know, priorities.
Yeah, that's true. That was an interesting scene too. We didn't recap that, but she sits down at the new location and they're like, who was it again? Her mom and her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
no, it was her mom and Nana.
It was her mom and Nana. And she's like, guys, how's the location going? And they're like, terrible. And one of them is like, yeah, we need to train the staff. Like, maybe we should have some staff meetings where there's some training. And Kelly's like, oh gosh. Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah.
Train your staff. Well, and for those of you who don't know, that location's already closed. Like, yeah. you gotta do something.
So anyway, so she is, so Jarvis has paid for her to have a new teeth, which is funny because like I never looked at her, you know, teeth, and we're like,
they
oh,
look
wow.
the same to me.
I thought they were the same.
Yeah, I mean, they look the same to me, but I'm not.
I don't know. What do I know? Look.
Yeah, I'm not a big teeth judger, so I don't know.
I'm not a big I'm not a big teeth judger unless I really, really notice them, but like, whatever. You know what it is? I'm actually more of a judger after the fix. I never notice when someone's teeth are like, unless they're super, super janky. Like, there's one.
We've been teeth judgers in the past. I mean, like there's Carl. That was years ago, though. But there was
Rizzo.
Always Carl. I don't think we publicly say anything about Rizzo's teeth, just when we're alone.
I don't know if I publicly say anything about Rizzo's teeth, but I think my spirit has said it. I've just noticed that they are, you know, his teeth yeah. are going, you know, his teeth.
I don't know. I feel like teeth, Carl years ago, but I've always felt kind of guilty about that.
I feel
that,
like, no, but Carl, his teeth were more, it's just because they were yellow.
They were yellowing,
and yeah. that's like, Rizzo is more like,
I felt like that's something you're allowed to make fun of.
I actually don't shame Rizzo for his teeth because it's just like, that's purely like some, like all of our teeth will go in different directions and he just needs to get orthodontics. It's fine. It's like not a, it's not a, it's not, it's fine. But with Carl, it was like, oh, his teeth were yellow. It's like, you're not taking taking care of your teeth, you know? Like, Rizzo's may just be an issue of, like, resources or whatever, so, like, I wouldn't make fun of that. But that...
I love that we're, like, sitting here parsing when it's okay.
It's like, I feel like you're not allowed to make fun of Rizzo. But I wouldn't... something like that, there's a reason why we haven't publicly said it, because it's, that's just too mean, because it seems like that.
Yeah.
You know, But with... I feel like I notice more when people put the veneers in, and then everyone's always like, look, I finally got my perfect smile. And I'm always like, it looks 10 times worse.
Well, yeah, we've definitely judged people's redone teeth. And I think you're allowed. And that's another thing. When people are like, you can't judge plastic surgery. Of course you can, because that's an art form. And I feel like, what am I not allowed to judge ice skating anymore? Like, it's an art form. People work on it. And so when you get bad work, you get cheaper work. Yeah. I feel like people are allowed to say that's bad work, because we all aspire to get good work.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like if someone's teeth are like misaligned or whatever, like there's almost like nothing to make fun of, because it's like that's just how your teeth grew in. And like, just, you know, you get your Invisalign or whatever you're going to do, and you get it fixed. And like, that's just, I don't know, it's like having a bad hair day in a weird way. You know, it's like you get a haircut, you
bad
fix it.
Bad teeth day.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry, I'm late. I'm having a bad teeth day.
But it's just like the crazy veneers. That's where it's like, okay, this was poor judgment. And we make fun of poor judgment.
They're not better. We saw someone on TV like last week, and their veneers were on top. I mean, I guess veneers by nature.
It was Carl.
Their veneers were on top of their teeth. Is that what I'm saying?
It's like, I don't know, a lot of people
like, you know,
veneers.
When someone gets a French manicure and it grows out, and then you can see like the, I shouldn't be showing my nails, and my nails are really bad, but you can see like that line. So it's like the nails down here,
cuticles?
But then the nails up, the fake nail is up here.
Oh yeah.
No, not the nail. You know, where it's growing in, they haven't filled it. Mm-hmm. We saw someone's teeth like that. I was like, why'd they put your teeth down below your gum line?
Maybe that wasn't Carl. I don't know who that was.
I don't think it was Carl.
That's often the way dentures will look, you know? Mm. The point is that I feel like veneers have... There are just a lot of terrible veneers out there. They have not figured out veneer science yet. And so every time someone's like, I got my teeth looking, now I finally got my smile, I'm like...
Yeah, but you took mine away. Because I was smiling like this when you walked in, and then you walked in and I went like this.
Yeah.
Where's my smile? Why don't I have the right smile?
It's too much. It's distracting.
You shouldn't get a new smile only from stealing other people's smiles.
And I think there's something actually nice about like an imperfect teeth situation.
Yeah, it's over.
You know?
So Kelly, point is, Kelly got new teeth. She calls Jarvis, thanks him. And Shamia is there with her. We didn't mention that because it's an extremely annoying part of it. But they're both wearing the same outfit from Alo. And they're like, oh my God, we're hilarious. We're in the Laverne and Shirley. Which Ben hasn't seen. Mm-hmm. And
Shlemiel Shlemazel.
They're obnoxious. So then we go to Drew's team meeting.
Wait, I just want to say, I want to say something. Something about Jarvis. I already don't trust this guy whatsoever. Okay, he paid $70,000 for her veneers after a few months, and then while she's in there during recovery, he sends like giant bouquets in of flowers, and he's like, anything. He calls up, he's like, anything for you, you know. I'm like, is this already is giving me love bombing feelings? Like, I do not believe this. I'm like, Kelly, when someone's giving you this much, it's so presentational for TV. He doesn't want to be on TV yet. He's going to do these big gestures to sell himself on TV.
I'll take it. If you're going to bomb me with love, I'll take it.
Like, you just got out of a toxic relationship.
Better than hate bombing.
I'm just saying, you got out of a toxic relationship. Please just have some scrutiny. Have some healthy scrutiny available.
Muffin bomb me. Just bomb me with muffins. Croissant bomb me.
Ice cream bomb me.
Yes.
Jenny's.
I mean, love bombing, look, that is a real thing that's not great. But if you're going to love bomb me and give me new teeth... Bombs away, bitch. I'll take it.
No.
I say war's on. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying I'm suspicious. I'm flagging it right now. And
Shamia's like, oh, I hooked her up with him. And of course I'm going to hook her up with someone good. Do you think I'm going to hook up my new bestie with a brokey?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Looking only for the right things.
Well, you literally did hook up one of your besties with a brokey. It's just... It's the brokey was the girl in this situation.
Oh, that's true.
She's like, would I ever connect my bestie with a brokey? You literally, this man
that
is now,
poor guy.
This guy's already $70,000 out of the...
My man can't even date a woman for a couple of months without having to buy her a new grill. I mean, what the hell?
So the answer is yes, you would do that.
Yeah. It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So now we go to Drew's team meeting, and this is ridiculous. And when I tell you some of these people, this one guy who was fighting was like, kind of like, he just looked like stoned out of his mind. He was kind of like cross-eyed, and he had a hat or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just looked like a cartoon character. I was like, what is this? So we find out that Drew has got like 20 assistants. How many? 15? How many were there? Did they say 20?
I think in the room there was probably about like 8, the producer says it was 20 people because I'm sure there's probably a longer list that. But so she's having a team meeting for who knows what reason. She has someone named Ozone who is her photographer. So she just has a photographer on staff. We have to help him.
Like,
to
repair him. Watch out for the holes in Ozone. Do not stand on the wrong side of Ozone. You will get skin cancer.
Ozone has a real issue in Australia. It's like, I can't go to Australia.
Yeah. Why would someone pick a name of something that's deteriorating? I mean, it's just so bizarre.
It's also the lovely smell after it rains in a forest. It's ozone. But
guys,
yeah, I agree.
The ozone is fucked. Don't name yourself after something that's fucked. That's crazy.
He's very delicate. If you turn on a car, he's going to suffer a little bit.
Yeah. He's like, I will be your assistant, but I cannot smell your hairspray. So please just do that in another.
Can we get some more windmills? They need some green energy around here. So she has all these people here. She's got a music producer. And I guess, are they talking about how they're going to take Drew Sidora to the next level? Maybe. So,
well, listen, you're already a level. You got Ozone, the new music producer. That's definitely better than the hot dog guy that was producing you last year, right?
That's true. And the good news for the Drew is she's already inherently at the next level because literally Ralph is down in the basement. So she's by definition always next level. So the producer is, like the TV producer's asking like how many people are there. Like, yeah, it's 20 people. So that's a lot of people to have on your team just to support you as an artist. And so Keon is like the manager, the big dog. And she's like, well, I'm really happy to be part of this team. And remember, there's no I in team. And I'm a real collaborative kind of chick. So let's have a meeting where you also demonstrate how collaborative you all are. Okay, who wants to start?
So Drew's like, I've been acting since I was 8 years old. So it's, you know, it's not something I take lightly. And in this new chapter I'm entering, I definitely want to go for some bigger roles. You need more assistants. Definitely, definitely more assistants. That's the only way you're going to get new roles. Spend that money on acting class. Go to acting class. You need 30 assistants to be
on. I know,
on
it's called Stella Adler.
Yes.
Well, wait. Remember, Drew did do the Uta Hagen method.
That's true. That's true. She went to Uta Hagen.
She did go to Uta. So, and here's the thing. I love to punch down on Drew all the time because she has been so fraudulent, you know, with like drop of Drew, and she's always lying, etc. And then she's, you know, her music career is like, okay, when she was like, oh my God, LeBron listens to my music. But the truth is, like, she has like a legitimate acting career. Like, she has been acting since she was young, and she's been in like many legitimate shows. She's been in movies. She was in The Game. Like, she's not like no one, right? But she also is like, I don't know. She also is very funny.
She's also just Drew. I mean, I'm not hitting her acting career. She's the one who's saying, I just want bigger acting roles. So I'm just saying, like, if you want bigger acting roles, like, you don't need more assistants. You need to go, like,
you need to do the work. You need to do the work. You're not just like get a whole team. I think she's trying to like fake it till you make it. Like, I've got this whole team. I'm gonna feel like I'm an A-lister. If I feel like I'm an A-lister, then I'll be able to go up for those A-lister roles. But it's like,
you're still... I felt like an A-lister since I was 5. Look at me.
No, you are an A-lister.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a gay lister. So
A-list New York.
Yeah.
Throwback.
A-list New York. God, that was a good show.
Where's Reagan?
Speaking of gays with sugar daddies, there was that guy on that show who was like some famous designer's boy toy. I forget who it was.
That guy. Yeah,
all
the cowboy.
He had to do, he was like, listen, you can stay here. You can live with me. Be my lover. You can sleep with whoever you want. Just don't bring them to the house. And he started bringing them to the house, and he got dumped. And that was like his big... He will never get over that he fucked that one up.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't get over that. I do wonder where Riken is these days.
Riken, oh my gosh. God,
the worst.
Riken. So,
I will always remember this seeing an interview with Riken, and he was like, "You can tell everything about a man based off of his wrists. If I go into a bar and I look at a man's wrists, I know depending on what watch it is, if he works out, if he's a good person, it's all based on his wrists." I'm like, oh God. I've always thought about that ever since then.
Crazy. Their wrist.
I know.
Because of their watch. That's dumb.
I think it was also like, it would also show how much they worked out. You could see the veins, the vascularity, all the, like.
Here's how you can tell about how a man is: how he eats, how he drives, how he fights with you. Those are the three things. He eats, like, I saw a guy last night at this restaurant. By the way, I love just being in New York and being around so many people. It's so nice because I never leave my house, you know? So I've left my house like every day this week and gone out and done stuff and eaten in restaurants. So there was this guy and he was actually really cute and he was kind of like looking at me, which is really rare. So I was like, do I have something on my face, you know? And then he smiled, and I was like, what a nice smile. Then his food was delivered. Girl, when I tell you, this man had a knife. He was holding his knife like this and his fork like this, and he was, like, eating like that. And then he would get, like, a big chunk of something and be like, okay, eating, dead. Then driving, I always say, like, before you date someone, put a hidden camera in their car, because that's when you see someone's real inner bitch come out, you know, how they are when some old lady cuts them off. Are they just like, oh, God, there we go again? Or are they like, you goddamn cut. Fitness, you know.
Luckily, that's not
road
me.
Raging. No, you're not like that. You're like this.
No, I love to honk at a bitch. I love to honk at someone.
Even is like nice. It's like,
well, I don't need to be obnoxious, but they need to know. Like, well, look alive.
But you've seen like road ragey guys who are, it's like they look like they might be nice, but then you see them pass by and they're cursing out some little old woman and like sticking their hands out the window. And then the first time you get into a fight, see how the man reacts, because it's going to be 10 times worse when any kind of shit goes down. Their fucking wrist. Get out of here, you fuck boy.
Get out of here. I was just checking to see if any famous
accounts. By the way, I still haven't found a man, because no man passes all three of those tests. We all fail at one of them. I fail at all three of them, frankly. I eat like shit. I drive like shit. I'm really mean. You should see what I say to the old ladies in the car.
Yeah. I'll tell you what Ronnie says to them. He just sings. He just sings show tunes at them.
Okay, so back to the scene. So she's got all these assistants. She's telling us how important that is. And she's also been writing and doing music. And Keon has managed lots of artists that I look up to. And she's not only going to be able to take this career to the next level, but she's going to help me stay focused and on time and really organize this team. I mean, get an iPhone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously. So
what were you looking up over there?
You know, when you were talking, I sort of had this feeling like, I don't know, this has been my thing lately, which is like, I feel like today is the birthday of someone that's like,
oh God,
important for us as gay people. And it's important to us. I don't know, I had this feeling, so I looked it up. It's Alanis Morissette's birthday today.
Oh yeah.
Well, but I was hoping it's also Marilyn Monroe's birthday.
It's a pretty big one. That's a pretty big one for the gays.
Yeah. And it's also Charlene's birthday.
Charlene Woodley?
Her name is just Charlene, and you may know her because Charlene is someone who, she's been to many places, but she's never been to me.
Oh, that's so nice. I've never been to her either because I didn't even know her name.
I've been to China.
That's a good song. Yeah. Na, na, na,
na, na, na, everywhere I could. Na, na, I moved like Harlow in Monte Carlo and showed him what I got. I've been undressed by kings and I've seen some things that a woman's not supposed to see. I've been to paradise,
but I've never been to me.
Now, if Shamia or Drew sang that song, did a cover of it, now we're talking a different story. Now we're talking number one hit, and you've got all
Drew
the gays.
I wrote DeLulu, so I love Drew's music now, because I have that one on my list, on my playlist. Keon is like, okay, guys, I know it's not easy working with a lot of people. There's no judgment here, but what's the problem? And Drew's like, well, I would say a lot of times I don't even know the issue's going on. I just show up. up and then things are happening and I got to get to my job. And when I leave, there's things that happen and then I hear about it later. I mean, when Tavi is upset or Freedom is upset, I'm like, oh my God, we've upset Freedom now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then Walter, the hairstylist, so of course a messy hairstylist is going to be the first one to get messy here. He's like, some old people need to be replaced. And then Drew's like, no, all of it needs to just get more organization and ebb and flow to where sometimes I gotta work with people I don't like. And by the way, speaking of ebb and flow, some of you guys have really upset Ebb and some of you guys have really upset Flo.
The most important person here that you've upset is Freedom. I just want to have a baby named Freedom and just hope one day they become like a jail warden or something like crazy, you know? Or,
well, you know, Freedom Williams was part of CNC Music Factory.
Freedom Williams.
The thing is Freedom Williams. You know?
So boring, you know? What a lame name.
Freedom Williams, right?
Sometimes, like, I just get pissed off at my parents in the middle of the day when I hear shit like this. Like, why do I have to be a Rondel? I'm so lame. There's a Freedom out here.
Freedom Williams. Freedom Williams was an important part of pop culture from 1990 to 1992.
Though, that's a cool name. I want a better name.
Oh, I thought you were saying his name was boring.
No, I'm saying my name is boring. Oh. I'm pissed off at my parents for giving me a shit name when there's people named Freedom out there. Like, what the hell?
Well, you know what? Freedom's just another word.
The name of someone, something that people like. People like Freedom. Like, name me Coupon.
You could also be named Nothing Left to Lose. It's the same as Freedom. Okay, so Freedom. So anyway, they're talking. So Drew is talking about, like, this guy says, like, well, Freedom, some people need to be fired, some of the old people need to be fired. And then this guy, Walter, the hairstylist, is like, well, I've been playing her assistant when I shouldn't have to, because it's supposed to be a team. But when you have somebody on the team that's lazy and not doing their job, hint, hint. So then Danny, who's the driver and the assistant, goes, now hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay, I'm so sorry, because what I'm not going to do is spell my name without an E, because I'm spelled D-A-N-N-E-Y, everyone. Danny. And I'm not going to sit here and let somebody tell me that I slack as an assistant, because I can say she needs a new wig stylist because you have her wig lifting.
He's like, well, I can do your job better than you. He's like, nah, because you had a lot to say, and there's a lot of times you slip up on her hair, and it looks terrible. And she's like, wait a minute. She's like, holding her hair. Like, God, guys.
And so Walter's like, please bring it up, because the blogs have never said anything about her hair. And then Danny's like, well, at the end of the day, you get assistance for assistance, and I don't get along with everybody, and some people may think I talk a little bit harder than whatever, and I can feel like they say some crazy stuff. I can say all sorts of stuff. And now Freedom speaks up. Freedom, who's been sitting there very primly in his chair, he's been sitting there with, like, perfect posture. And
yeah,
like,
yes.
And he's like, well, that's unprofessional, though.
Yeah, I like that Freedom was the voice of reason. You know, I felt like he was aptly named. Mm. So then...
his name really should have been Reason, then.
Chocolate Reason, my favorite candy. Just ate a bag of them the other day. I'm like, why can't I lose weight? Eating whole bags of candy for the start of the day. So Freedom's like, yeah, that's unprofessional. And Danny says, oh, really? And you got put off the team how many times, Freedom? And he's like, that was then. This is now. This is new Freedom.
I'm back now.
That was back when my name was Oppression. And now I'm Freedom. Okay? I'm back.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Danny's like, I thought so. And Freedom's like, okay, so I feel with Danny, we've had multiple breakdowns with conversation, and we can be like talking and it just goes left. And that's because you lack professionalism. He's like, well, I think you lack a lot of stuff. I'm like, that was a very professional response, Danny. Very it's professional.
Like what? Boundaries. My name is Freedom. Well, still. And you just sit there and you get drunk at the job. I mean, let's be serious. He's like, oh, well, now you are not going to take control over this conversation, burp.
I was about to say, that's not a denial. So Danny's like, Freedom, you're barely on the team. He's like, I feel like Danny, he just gets very petty. He goes, Freedom, you lied and you dogged Drew online. He's like, well, and I just feel like we start going all over the place. Where's Drew's old assistant, the messy-ass old assistant? He should be in the mix, too.
Why is he not?
Whatever his name was.
Every one of these people has major problems. I was cracking up. And Danny's like, and then you just sat there. You know, there's a lot of stuff we could say, so just stop. And Drew's like, hold on. And then they start fighting. Where was the part? I guess they have a lot more fighting to go, but just in case it's not in here, there was one part where the guy just goes, you need to eat less. Like, these guys.
I mean, like, honestly, they all should be fired, but clearly this was like Drew was angling to do a spinoff here. And I think she succeeded, quite frankly. So Freedom's like, you're a liar. And Dan's like, I told Drew. It's like, what if I said? I said, Drew, I do not want to work with him. And I said it to you multiple times. And Freedom's like, okay, you're over here looking like a double stuffed Oreo, baby. You need to eat less. There it is.
This is how he says it. You're looking like a double stuffed Oreo. You need to eat less. So funny. I like that at first. I was like, oh my God, Freedom's so sweet. And Freedom's like, eat less.
So Keon's like, okay, this is becoming demeaning and it's not informative. Okay, let everyone just be professional. Freedom, you can put down that bottle of Schlitz, okay?
But I just don't understand why it's so hard. Like, I can't think about performing if I got to deal with you guys fighting. Drew, you do not need 20 assistants on the set of the Tubi. Stop.
I know.
There was a situation in Chicago where I was performing and then I took a flight. When I landed, I heard that there was an altercation. That should never happen.
Oh my God. How are you flying? How many people go to Drew's shows that she's flying all these people out there?
Exactly.
This is crazy.
Exactly. And it was a Candace show, right? Where Drew came out and was like, and that's it, right?
Yes. Candace is like, I've got a very special guest and her name is Drew Sidora. And Drew's like, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
So Drew says, firing people is not my forte. I'm very loyal, and I feel like everyone served an important purpose in my life, but I know that sometimes like it can get like a little too crowded, and I need to make sure I have a team that is really there for me. And if you don't respect me and the business I have, then I need to figure out who needs to go and who needs to stay. I was like, Drew is doing the I don't want to fire anyone, I'm loyal, which means that she's gonna make Keon fire people, and then
yes,
then,
of course, that's why you get the new manager.
That's what celebrities do. That way they're always the good guys.
Yeah.
So look out, everyone.
By the way, you've got a message from my agent. It'd be nice if you checked your voicemail every once in a while. So now we go to Brasserie Lundi, and this is the big sit down with Pinky, Kay, Michelle, Cynthia, and Portia. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. So Kay, Michelle, and Portia are really sweet to each other to start. They're like, hello, you look very pretty. She's like, you look very pretty too.
And it's like very, you know, it's like tense and everything. And then it starts to thunder and rain outside. It's like, it's a sign. So Kay, Michelle's like, you know, God is an awesome God. And I feel like that was him saying, be a bigger person. I love it's fine when people, if there's like a thunder, that's funny. It's fine to be like, oh, it's a sign of something, but I don't think God thundering was necessarily be like, be a bigger person.
this was harsh though. I mean, they like sat down and it was like, oh, boom, and this just starts pouring down.
I think that's God's bit. Like, they're like, don't stop, go home.
Yeah.
So Pinky and Cynthia are there and they're gonna bring everyone together. And
so they're like, you guys need to talk. We're going to another table. They're like, wait, this is a setup. I'm like, well, you got to do it. So Kay Michelle's like, well, you know, Portia says, wait, hold on.
Wait, most importantly, what's strange about this is that that Portia and Kay Michelle are at a table for four. And since the other two have left, they are now left. They're sitting kitty corner to each other. And I found that this was an awkward seating arrangement for this entire scene. They weren't like in front of each other. They weren't next to each other.
You're trying to like come together.
Like diagonally.
You won't even agree on a side.
Yeah.
So Portia's like, okay, what's going on? And Kay says, I don't know. You know, I want to talk and I want to hear you and listen to you. I just don't feel like you listen to me. She's like, well, I already closed off the conversation because everybody had brought it to me already, but it wasn't a conversation you had with me. And she's like, you know what? I'll say that was wrong of me and I'll take that one.
Yeah, but like you also revealed at the table that like you felt like you'd been set up and you felt like, you know, I was going to expose you and all that. Like, and if you just would have said it to me, then I could have talked to you about it. And I could have told you the timetable and how I was going to do it. And then you could have been ready for it. I don't know why you just didn't talk to me first.
So Kay Michelle's like, listen, you have to understand the first day I come into this, I get this tit and tatting from you and the sleeping with a married preacher and all of this stuff. And Portia's like, oh, well, you're going to see a lot more than that. Okay. But you'll find your way in this group. Just like, yeah. Oh, you think I'm bad? Just wait, okay? This is all of us. This is our job, okay? It's like you're coming in and being like, well, I came in and you expected me to do word processing. Yeah. I made the phone ring and you asked me to answer it. Yeah. Where do you think you're working?
Yeah. So Portia's like, look, K. Michelle came in and she saw this scene, and she, what she doesn't realize is that, like, I was getting my lick back. It wasn't like I was just starting up with Kelly. Kelly already started up with me, and I was just retorting, essentially. And she's like, yeah, you know, Kelly's being on her hands and knees and not praying to a pastor or a married pastor has nothing to do with K. Michelle. So let's move on. So they basically, like, you know, K. Michelle's like, okay, I understand your point of view, and I just want you to understand me as well. And, you know, there's no hate coming from me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm, today.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the second time she's done this. So Portia basically says that she's like,
yeah, the third time this happens, it might be a closed door.
So then Cynthia and Pinky are able to, like, you know, they're watching, and they come back, and then they all do sort of like a joint fist bump to be like, yay, we've settled everything, and we're all gonna be friends.
Yeah. So then they start talking about the friendship contract. They're like, you guys need to make a friendship contract. And Cynthia's like, this group is fractured. And then we go to Pinky, and she's like, okay, so how are we going to get to the bottom of this scheme that you're talking about? And Portia's like, oh, who? The scheme. The scheme of the plots. And she's like, okay, come on, Kay, let that go. And Kay's like, why, basically? And she goes, you really think, come on, Drew has not been here. And she's like, well, why are you going to do that, Portia? And she's like, well, Phaedra hasn't said two words about you in a bad way. She's like, Portia, you know, Portia, when it comes to Drew, people like feel like, oh, people, everyone's picking on Drew, this and that, but she puts herself in those type of things. Like, basically, is what I'm saying is there, it was an effort to find information about me and expose me, and there were three parties that were part of it, and I've talked to each party, Phaedra, Miss Portia, and Drew, and I feel like Drew is lying about what she's got going on.
Okay, so you've talked to everybody and they've been vindicated? Then doesn't that mean that your initial information might be wrong?
Yeah.
If you were told that three people were guilty of this and you found out on your own that two of them are not guilty, wouldn't you question the person that told you in the first place,
yeah,
madame?
Yeah. So then she starts talking about, you know, like the, she starts building her case. You know, there was the rumor about
what is she going to add this week? Cause yeah, every week it's something.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I just met you, you know, it's about, and now it's about my toes. And like, what about your toes? She goes, well, they said my toes were long. So now she's mad because someone
said something. And they were long. Okay. So what? Who cares? What are you talking about? How's that a plot?
I know. So
long ass toes.
So then they start talking about like black and everything. And Portia's like,
does Drew like to get tea on people? Because like, yeah, she has a long history of doing that to someone who doesn't like it or feels like she's coming at her. I mean, is she doing that to Kay? Because I just don't see the motive.
Yeah, like I said, I don't necessarily put it past Drew, but none of this matters anyway because she didn't do it yet.
Yeah. It's hard to know. It's hard to know because it seems like K. Michelle is whipping herself into a frenzy, you know?
Yeah, and the examples she's coming up with are crazy. Like saying, oh, and Drew's trying to make it look like I know her friend. No, you made it look like you knew her friend when you said, and when he was on the phone, you're like, oh, hey, it's so nice to see you. Hi, how are you? That's what made it.
Yeah.
She didn't say you fucked the friend. She just no. let you know him.
Yeah, like, exactly.
So weird.
She goes, So Portia's like, you know, we're going to clear the record. I've not done anything to look up any information on you. You haven't done anything to me. So I sure wish whoever told you this stuff would make themselves known. And K. Michelle is like, well, all of you need to know exactly what I'm talking about. But I will hold the feet to the fire of the person who created that. And that is Drew Tubi Sidora. Although there's nothing wrong with Tubi. I like Tubi. I watch Tubi.
So she says she's not in a hateful place. She's just wondering where Drew's coming from. And she's like, at least I made up with Portia. So they, you know, they're like, yeah, we did it one lunch at a time. So now we go to Angela and Shamia meeting. Dun, dun, dun. The big meeting of the episode.
Yes.
And Shamia already loses this one coming in. I mean, Shamia, come on. You're taking lines from Married to Medicine, first of all, which, stop it. With her, she just starts it off with, oh, now I have to talk with Angela and her big old feet. And she goes to the hostess and she's like, do you have someone in here with big hands and big feet? Because I'm supposed to meet her. She's got a size 12 shoe. Shamia.
Yeah. Like,
Come on, man.
It's shitty. So Angela is like, well, I just want to get to the bottom of the tension between us. And, you know, at Phaedra's event, it was so thick you could cut it. Shamia's like, yeah, and that's so unfortunate, Angela, because I feel like just when I'm getting to know you and we're growing a friendship and some sort of bond, it's like hot, cold. And then in Dallas, you were the one saying I was stirring things up in the group. And even after Kay said it wasn't me, you were still like, you. So it almost feels like you're picking at me.
Why do you always think you're the victim? You're not always the victim. Give me a break. She's like, oh, really? Well, you even said that you had a gift, a girl, a gift. And she's like, well, my discernment. She goes, well, your discernment was off. And she goes, well, I still believe it. I don't care. And she goes, use your discernment to sell some houses. Use your discernment to tell you about the drama that you've had with other people. Your discernment is very off with me, Bigfoot.
So then, and then they're like, they're getting tense. And then the waitress comes over. She's like, hello, can I offer you guys some kebabs? We serve kebabs here, which, by the way, I would never come to this place and be like, oh, this is a kebab place.
The waitress did the heavy lifting. She was so funny. Some of the waiters on these shows, you know, we always talk about the waiters, but this one was so good. Every time they would scream, she'd come up and be like, hi, how are you doing?
Have you thought about those kebabs more?
Yeah. Any more time to think about the salmon kebabs?
But don't worry, Shamia has a really funny line here. She goes, she's talking about kebabs, and all I'm thinking about is bobbing and weaving them big hands and them big feet under the table. Hello, do you not see I'm up against Sasquatch? I mean, Shamia, I don't know why you're not a bigger star myself. I mean, kebabs, those kebabs, the kebab joke, and then tying it into Sasquatch, I mean, wow, killing it.
Sasquatch, oh my God. So Angela says, well, you know, first of all, you're not that high on the Richter scale for me to be bothered. She goes, oh, really? Well, then stop being bothered then. She's like, well, I'm not, but you continue to talk about me. You said I broke up your friendship. And she's like, I'm not bringing up Portia. I'm not here to talk about Portia. I'm here to talk about me and you. We're not talking about Portia. And she's like, I'm talking about you.
Yeah. She's like, Shamia, why do you keep putting my name in your mouth? She's like, you're blaming me for this shit. And Shamia's like, well, why do you keep saying I'm stirring things up with Kay Michelle? She goes, well, did you tell Kay how you and I initially fell out? She goes, no, actually I didn't. She goes, well, you didn't tell her. And we see, you know, flashback to the reunion where they fought. And so Angela's like, every time she's confronted with how she made someone feel, she evades accountability. And Shamia's like, I think it's weird that Angela was able to forgive someone that said she's sleeping with her husband. And I just laughed and I apologized for it. And she was able to forgive for the Phaedra fiasco. And that was false. And yet she's still mad at me. What's really going on, sis?
And she's like, Shamia says, you're touched. And she's like, whose mind are you using? You conjuring up Porsches? Are you conjuring up candy? She goes, oh, you can't even get Portia out of your mouth. And you don't even know Candy. And she goes, well, I don't have to. I know you're trying to be like Candy. Nice try, sucker. Yeah. And also, good point.
So Shamia's basically like, and just one of those girls whose like ponytail is like long and would fan out in elementary school, and she'd pick on the other girls that were cute, you know, and she was mad for no damn reason. I was like, I don't know.
Oh God.
I
was like, also jealous of you and your fucking.
I was like, thank you for welcoming us into your childhood trauma. She's like, you know how that is, right? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that girl with the ponytail that flares out. Oh, okay.
Are you exorcising a demon right now?
Yeah.
So Angela's like, well, you don't have your own identity.
You know, you wish you were cute, and she's the one talking about how someone's so ugly all the time. She's ridiculous.
I think that's why
behind Shamia.
Well, I think that's ultimately why Angela's not fucking with her, is because, like, she can excuse all those other women because those women are like, they're being authentic in her eyes, and I think that she sees Shamia as someone who's not authentic. So like, she doesn't know where she'll ever stand with Shamia because she doesn't know really what Shamia's about. Yeah. So I think that's why there's that issue.
And I think she's also just making calls on Shamia that are correct. I mean, what she said about her last year was correct, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. She's just like, you're using people to get this relationship with Portia, like this fight with Portia going. I mean, she did do that. She was going to everybody like, oh, Portia, you know, Portia's not very nice. And then trying to turn everybody on Portia. And then the stuff she said this year, I think is true too. I do think it was Angela and... not Angela. I do think it was Kelly and Shamia who were like, you know, Drew's looking stuff up on you. Mm-hmm. Drew's looking up your vagina smell on mm-hmm. the internet.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
This show.
So then, Angela's like, I'm mad that I'm not getting any kebabs. I came here to eat, not argue. I just want to have kebabs.
So Angela's like, well, you heard that girl singing. That's what you want to do. You want an EGOT. So get a hit first. You need a hit first before an EGOT. And Shamia's like, I do want an EGOT. And I don't want to be like Angela, who doesn't have anything. She goes, oh, I'm self-made. I never laid on my back to get on my feet. That's what you do. She's like, oh, really? Because I understand why your husband leaves in the morning and doesn't come back until you take your ass to sleep.
And she goes, really? Does he? Because I see why you leave home and don't come back. She's like, oh, I would leave your ass too. Why don't you work on your house? Because, well, why don't you leave home and come back?
What?
Why? When my husband is outside, he sees your ass in the street.
And she's like, then try to keep him home. How about that? She's like, Shamia, let's talk about the Falcons or the Hawks. She's like, I'm a great host. Host? Why are you sticking around so long? She's like, girl, my God, because it pays well. She goes, oh, really? Why are you sticking around? It doesn't.
And you probably should get one of those jobs because the real estate isn't working for you. She says, I have multiple businesses. The men pay well. Do you not understand that I have a sample from Fangy here with me right now? Look.
Yeah, she had her Fangy. And she goes, really? Well, someone's not going to continue. I'm someone who's not going to continue a conversation with Sasquatch. And so she gets up. By the way, her outfit is so incredibly crazy. She's wearing
It's like a bodysuit.
She's wearing this bodysuit that looks like it's like big business. Like, what do we come to the office dressed like a blood clot?
Yeah.
She looks great. It's a bruise, basically. So she gets up and she goes, Sasquatch, enough to walk over your ass. And she's like, you shouldn't be wearing your white heels. You should not be wearing white heels. And she goes, oh, yeah, I could walk all over you. She goes, yeah, you can kiss this fake ass. And she walks off and she goes, girl, what? That fake ass? Go buy another booty, asshole.
So now Shamia, now they do like a very old school, like, sort of on the fly confessionals.
Yes, I love this. Like, yeah, do your confessional by the car.
Yeah, and Shamia's like, that girl can't even get her own shit straight. She said I'm outside because like her husband sees me out. Your husband's outside if he's seen me.
That's actually a good point. The husband's like, well, I saw her at the club. Well, what were you doing at the club, sir?
Well, the thing is, Shamia's the one who said that that Charles goes out first. And then Angela's like, well, you went out too. And I know, so that's stupid. It's actually, they didn't actually make any really great points. They just were going for whatever they could grasp for in that moment. They were like falling down.
But I will say, I like that Angela can read anybody and do it well. She can win every time.
She does every time.
I feel like Angela wins every time, even if she speaks nonsense half of the time. And Angela, she can win.
And she goes, what are we running for? Stick around. She called me Sasquatch. Girl, you sleep with Sasquatch every night. Tell your husband to look in the mirror. I mean, hey, the face don't lie. Wow.
Yeah, I think Angela won that one handily. So that is the end of that.
That is the end of that. Thank you all for being here. Don't forget to get your streaming tickets for Cabaret. And we will catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose. She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.